It is Copley versus Advanced Services. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is William Burkle, and I'm here this afternoon on behalf of the appellant defendant, Advanced Services, Inc. This is a Nebraska workers' compensation case involving an injury that occurred in Hall County. Our client, Advanced Services, is a staffing agency for manufacturing plants. So all of their people that they hire, their employees, are placed in manufacturing facilities. In this instance, Mr. Copley was placed at Mead Lumber in Hall County. There's an accident that occurred at work, and Mr. Copley alleges that he suffered two separate individual scheduled member injuries. There are two actual injury dates, November 6th of 2018 and November 30th of 2018 and November 6th of 2018. There's some confusion, Your Honors, about exactly what the date of injury was and for which injury. If you take a look at the first report of injuries, the testimony that was given by Mr. Copley at the time of trial, and then also statements that he gave to Advanced Services after the trial, it's unclear whether or not those injuries were caused by one incident. In fact, the defendants contend that the injuries were caused by two separate incidents. The judge disagreed and found that they were both as a result of one injury date.
But that's not an issue that you made. You didn't really assign that on appeal.
We did not, Judge, but it could make a difference later on in the case. Since the comp cases are tried in pieces, this eventually could have additional cases to be tried or issues to be ironed out later on as treatment goes on. So. The injuries that he suffered were an injury to a shoulder and an injury to his face, which resulted in an eye. He had an injury that decreased his ability to see in one eye. The shoulder injury was to the left side. In his initial paperwork, he selected a Dr. Leshek as his primary treating physician for this injury and signed the Form 50 to that effect. Interestingly enough, the plaintiff had had three prior surgeries on this shoulder for rotator cuff tears. This was in fact another rotator cuff tear. Dr. Leshek said that the rotator cuff was not the result of the work injury, but that he did suffer a bicep tendon tear and a slap lesion injury. And he was those were attributed to the one accident date. The plaintiff did not elect to go further with treatment with Dr. Leshek, and he voluntarily went to see Dr. Hood, who ultimately operated on the shoulder, the rotator cuff, and revised the bicep tendon tear and the slap lesion all in one surgery. Dr. Hood has argued that, sort of as expected by Dr. Leshek, that surgery didn't fix his rotator cuff tear. He is of the opinion that that another surgery is required for that rotator cuff. Judge Block found that the rotator cuff injury was not the result of either injury date, but that the other two injuries were, in fact, caused by one or both of those injury dates. For the eye injury, he didn't seek any treatment for the eye injury until December 23rd of 2018, and at that time he complained of some facial injuries and some pain in his face. He was assigned, or he was referred to another eye specialist, but he never followed up with that individual until July of 2019. He underwent the surgery for the shoulder. He was off work for that period of time to recuperate from that surgery. So from November through the surgery date, which occurred in March of 2019, he continued to work for Advanced Services, albeit light duty. He returned to work in late April of 2019 and worked for Advanced Services through October of 2019. At that time, he was placed at Maximum Medical Improvement by Dr. Farringer, who examined him on behalf of the defendants, and he was assigned a permanent partial disability to the shoulder, and he was released to return to work. He was offered work at Advanced Services, but he elected to did not go forward with that position, and in his testimony he admitted that he essentially quit on that date.
So it wasn't that he was told that his restrictions could not be accommodated?
Judge, he was offered a position. Whether there was no, the defendants have taken the position that this shoulder injury, the rotator cuff, is what is leading to his restrictions, if any, and that's not a work-related injury, so we would have him come back to work without those restrictions.
But didn't Dr. Farringer state that the cause of the rotator cuff wasn't from the injury, but it was aggravated? I don't think there was disagreement about the aggravation from the injury. And didn't he actually opine that he had permanent restrictions as a result of the forklift injury? Isn't that what Judge Block found?
That is what Judge Block found, but Dr. Farringer's opinion was that the rotator cuff was not caused or aggravated by, it wasn't a compensable injury. An aggravation of a pre-existing injury would be compensable, but he did not find that the rotator cuff was compensable, and Judge Block agreed with that assessment. He did indicate that there were some restrictions to the shoulder, but Dr. Farringer was unable to determine whether or not those were caused by the tear, the bicep tear, the slap injury, or the rotator cuff.
And were there no separate restrictions imposed or impairment given for the tendon, the bicep tendon injury?
There was no, Judge. There's not been any designation of what those restrictions Dr. Farringer gave were for. In fact, he said it's almost impossible to make a determination of which of the four or five factors led to those injuries.
So is Judge Block inaccurately referencing Dr. Farringer's opinion when he said that as a result of the forklift injury, he has limited work above chest and that within 2 feet of his body are permanent restrictions? Then he also assessed a 5% left upper extremity impairment as a result of the forklift accident. Is that an inaccurate?
That was his finding, Judge, but what we're...
And you're saying that opinion does not say anything close to that?
No, what we're saying, Judge, is that the opinion of the doctor indicated that he had an injury. The doctor said essentially we can assign or assume a 5%, although that would be a... I think the doctor actually said that would be sort of a guess. He said, there are restrictions, but I'm not certain what caused those restrictions. So, yeah, the judge made those findings, though. That is true. The issue, Judge, the main issue in the case is that the Judge Block awarded a running award of temporary total disability. In a case where there's two separate member injuries, the court made the opinion that those injuries can't, the person's not at MMI until all of the injuries are at MMI. In this case, he awarded temporary disability because the eye injury was not at MMI. However, he was at MMI for the shoulder. He was released to return to work with or without restrictions. And at that point in time, the case law says there's no more temporary disability allowed for that injury. The court, there's no restrictions whatsoever or restrictions on him returning to work for the eye injury. So the judge the judge did go back and assign a running award of temporary total disability from October forward until MMI on the eye based solely on the injuries and the restrictions and the impairment rating that was for the shoulder. And that's
Mr. Burkle, I know we're taking you over here, and you may not be seeing the light very well now, but I do have one question about
sure.
that. Is this situation a little bit opposite of what we normally have? When somebody doesn't reach MMI, it's because they haven't improved. Here, it seems like we're waiting to see how bad it gets.
I think so, Judge.
In contrast to what the typical situation would be, because there's indication that maybe the size is going to get worse.
Well, I think that the judge that he is at MMI for the shoulder. So
right.
The doctor and the judge have opined that he is at MMI. So that the MMI, the injury for the shoulder, he may or may not get additional treatment for that. But is in the court's eyes, the impairment for that is 5%. The problem here is that he's not at MMI for his eye injury. And so Rodriguez is the sort of the controlling case here, and it says if you've got multiple injuries, you can't release somebody, put them at MMI until all of the injuries are there. And they awarded temporary disability to Mr. Rodriguez. The distinction in that case, in all of its progeny, is that the injured worker in those cases had restrictions for the non-MMI injury. In this instance, there were no restrictions for the non-MMI injury, and he's at MMI for the shoulder. So he would not be entitled to temporary total disability at all because he doesn't have any, there's no temporary disability allowed for a post-MMI injury. Once you reach MMI, temporary disability stops, and he's not entitled to temporary disability for the eye because there were no restrictions. So.
Thank you. And how much time did we take Mr. Burkle over?
2 minutes, 11 seconds.
Could you please add that to the appellee's time?
Mr. Burkle, and may it please the court, I'm Tom Wagner from Grand Island. And I represent the plaintiff and appellant, Winfield Scott Copley, Jr., also known as Scott Copley. Prior to getting my argument, I'd like to speak generally about the jurisdiction of the case, or the court's jurisdiction in the case. And in my brief, I brought that up and I cited a case of the Jacobitz versus Aurora Co-op. And in Jacobitz, the worker was badly injured, and they bifurcated the trial to find out, number one, if the injury was work-related. That was a big issue. And they found that the worker was a work-related injury, but then prior to having the second part of the trial, the plaintiff, the co-op, appealed. Now, at the end of that case, the court said, from the decision of this decision, a worker's comp finding of a compensable injury or requires rejection of an affirmative defense without a determination of benefits is not an order that affects the employer's substantial right in a special proceeding. And the problem I have with that is that wording about a determination of benefits. I don't know if they're talking about temporary benefits or if they're talking about the worker having to reach, you know, having received MMI and you know, and found a diminution of his earning capacity in touch. I'm not contending that this case isn't properly before the court, but I think that's just an issue. I think I would ask the court to kind of look at give us some leeway on that, what the court actually meant in that sense. The statements that Mr. Burkle made in regard to the background of this case, I think were correct. Mr. Coffey was placed at Mead Lumber in Grand Island November 6th of 2018. He was another site. He drove a semi with the front-end loader on the semi. He had gone to pick up some rather large pallets, because they were heavy, he put the downriggers out on the front-end loader, and he raised the pallet, the one outrigger failed, so it tipped the machine, and it threw him into the cage, and that's where he injured his face and his left shoulder. Our position, Your Honor, is that this case is governed by Rodriguez. I mean, Rodriguez indicated, that you have to wait for MMI on both. Injuries. Now, Mr. Burkle said...
Just a minute, if I can interrupt you. Has there been shown to be an impairment due to his eye injury that impairs his ability to work?
Well, the Dr. Rupala, who is his doctor at the med center, she's listed the impairments, but hasn't listed anything. She said he can't work. Although, by the time he was with her, he'd already been, he'd been relieved from work by the employer, and so it really wasn't a matter of taking him off work. But she certainly didn't say anything on there that he was able to return to work. So that's the argument of that.
Was there testimony, though, that he was, the main issue would be driving, because he was a truck driver and loaded and drove materials to work sites.
That's basically.
So was there any evidence that he was unable to, because of his eyesight, do those things?
Well, just what the doctor said about that, I think she said at one time that he had about a 50% impairment of his vision on his right. On his left side, I'm sorry. So I would certainly argue that, I mean, if he had a 50% loss of vision, and she kept, and it kept seeming like it was getting worse from 2019 until 2020. But I would certainly argue that I think, with that kind of a loss, that he wouldn't be able to get a CDL. And if he couldn't get a CDL, obviously he couldn't do any commercial driving, Your Honor.
But didn't the compensation court note that no doctor had provided him with any restrictions with regard to his eye injury?
That's correct. Yeah, she hadn't at this time. But she said, she wanted further evaluation. It wasn't a matter that he was close to being released, because she hadn't even talked about releasing him. She was, she asked that he return for further evaluation.
It appears that the work comp court concluded that the basis for the temporary total disability after October of 2019 was because of the shoulder restrictions. I mean, there's a specific part of his opinion that refers to the restrictions that Dr. Ferringer gave as a result of the forklift accident, that he was wise to not return to work. Was that a choice he made, or was the employer unwilling to accommodate his restrictions?
Well, let me back up just a minute on that, if I could.
Because the order references that those limitations, now permanent, when combined with the employer's failure to accommodate them, has left the plaintiff unable to return to work.
That's correct.
So the court's saying that the employer was unable to accommodate. Is that a correct finding by the court?
Well, I think the employer decided not to accommodate him. I don't think there's any reason why they couldn't accommodate him. he'd been doing, you know, basically just sitting at a desk for, I think, well, from after he got out of the surgery, from May until October. Now, in October, his condition hadn't changed any at all, just that Dr. Farringer made the report, and at that time, the employer turned, you know, they said, well, we can't accommodate you anymore. But there was no, I mean, there was no reason for doing it. I mean, his condition hadn't changed. Now, when you say that, though, also, I ask you, on the defendant's brief on page 23, said it is also noteworthy that plaintiff was able to assign additional work with Advanced Services, and his lawyer's decision to stop work reinforced that he was not off work due to his eye injury. That's just wrong. I had nothing to do with that. I mean, I'm not even sure I was even employed by Mr. Copley at that time. But I mean, when they say that he in some way contributed, that's just not so.
Was there a request for voc rehab in this case?
No, not yet, because he hadn't reached maximum medical recovery. So being there wasn't any rating on the eye, we didn't think there was a necessity for that. And the judge indicated that, you know, in the final part of his decision, that at some, you know, if it came to it, the parties couldn't agree that they could ask for voc rehab at some future time. So, but like I said, I think this is governed by Rodriguez. I think, you know, I mean, Rodriguez has been in the law since 2005. There are a number of cases they've heard, mostly dealing with modifications, however. Yeah. But
it's interesting in Rodriguez. I'm going to read you a sentence. It's a slightly paraphrased out of Rodriguez because I'd like your thought on this. The Nebraska Supreme Court said, "We recognize that there may be circumstances in which a claimant's permanent disability may be ascertainable, even though not all claimant's injuries have reached MMI." Right? So you can determine it, which the court did here, right?
Well, but as I read that paragraph, they said that the circumstances when it's ascertainable are when it's one injury, is a permanent total injury. That's the way I read that.
Yeah, it is difficult to know how far you can take Rodriguez because it did involve a body as a whole injury,
exactly.
Impairment rating, right, along with scheduled members.
Exactly.
Where here we have scheduled and scheduled, so it's a little different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you aware of any case law that's on point with regard to, could there actually be a payout of this permanent disability since it's not likely to have an impact with regard to what happens with the eye?
Well,
you know what I mean? They appear so very different in terms of how it's going to affect his employability.
Well, it may have, you know, that's the thing when we get down to when they have a loss earning capacity rating, that may have an effect there. I mean, depending, because even though they said it's only 5%, I mean, he may not, you know, that may contribute to his not being able to drive a motor vehicle, mm-hmm. which is what he's always done for the last 20 years.
So you're saying that by the time he does reach MMI for his eye, that shoulder injury impairment may be factored in to combine and create a whole body injury and loss of earning?
That's mm-hmm. my position, yeah. Your Honor. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. Mr. Burkle is out of time, correct?
And then some.
So your case is submitted, and you are.